This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Reliever.
Well, look, everybody's feeling it right now, especially at home. You lose games, and you lose multiple games, and you lose them in different fashions. It's not a great feeling, but I think we take the field every day in good spirits, and you got to do it again the next day, unfortunately.
He really thinks, I'm talking about BPA, really thinks that Jake Moody is Kyle's
downfall.
It's going to be his downfall.
That's not going to be his downfall, but it is hilarious to think about. Jake Moody is the reason that he will get fired.
Is there a universe where Jake Moody doesn't exist and Debo's still on this team?
I don't think so. I think Debo.
You think Debo is going to like judo chop Robbie Gould? I don't.
Well, he did a Tabor Pepper. I don't know that. That whole talking about the last season, we don't talk about that enough. The long snapper and Debo Samuel having to get separated. Like, we didn't have any fights in joint practices, but we had our long snapper last year going at the wide receiver or vice versa. Like, oh God. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a thing. If you, who cares? Debo Samuel's gone. I'm done with Debo Samuel. I'm not gonna
root for him.
Sure.
I'm a huge Debo fan.
Have fun.
You know, always will be.
You know who I'm a huge fan of? It's Matt Lively, fifth quarter on KPIX, Valkyries pre and post game. He joins us right now as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and Matt Lively joins us now on the River Islands guest line. Matt, we'll bring you right into the conversation. Jake Moody. Is he going to be the ultimate downfall of Kyle Shanahan? What do you think of that?
It's so funny. The wave of emotions of 49ers social media on Saturday was great to follow because Moody comes out there and he misses the first kick, and which, by the way, it was over 50 yards, but it wasn't even close. I mean, absolutely hook this thing. And truly in my mind, I was like, okay, fine. This is probably what ends Jake Moody's tenure here in San Francisco.
A preseason kick. That crossed your mind?
Truly, yes.
Okay.
Because there's been so much back and forth. And I think what it comes down to is his confidence. He misses a kick like that. It's like, oh, God, what's he going to do with his confidence? But then he goes out. He goes 5 for 6, and he hits a 59-yarder to win the game. Jake Moody's there's no doubt now. Jake Moody's on his team. Is it the downfall of Kyle Shanahan? No. Kyle Shanahan's gotten himself into some trouble himself in the second half of games and the coaching style. If there is a downfall of Kyle Shanahan, I think it's on his own merit. But I know a lot of fans are not happy that Jake Moody hit a 59-yarder win this thing because it just means he's going to be around this season.
If I had to ask you to bet $1,000 of your hard-earned money,
oh no,
are you putting it on Jake being on the team come week 18?
Oh, jeez.
It's okay, dude. It's an imaginary hypothetical.
No, he just answered it right. He just answered it right there. He answered it right there.
Oh, jeez.
No chance.
I mean, if if he stays healthy, we have to remember this guy battled a high ankle sprain.
You know what?
But he missed the Rams kick, which was a gimme, which they would have won by 10 going away, which would have buried the Rams before the injury. And he could not kick the ball into the zone on the new kickoff rules to save his life before the high ankle sprain when his whole body got folded on that return.
I do think he has better people around him this year. I'll put it that way. I think Boyers is, a top-notch special teams coordinator. I think you brought in Weeks, you brought in Morstead, and those are guys who are vets and who are going to help him along. I mean, you're talking about Deebo Samuel judo chopping, a hypothetical Robbie Gould, but maybe Tabor Pepper wasn't the guy that Jake Moody needed in his ear last year. I know they were good friends, but maybe he needed a veteran to bring him along, like John Weeks is about to bring him along, and like Boyer is about to bring him along. I think Jake Moody probably needs that. There's no doubt about it. He was the most talented kicker coming out of his draft class. I mean, the kid was amazing at Michigan, and he has struggled in the NFL, and it's definitely a confidence issue. And if he's got that, he has the tools to be a good kicker. But it isn't easy then to look at the Ravens in their situation, and they drop Justin Tucker for his off-the-field reasons, and they take an undrafted guy who's been hitting all these kicks. It's not easy to look around the league and go, okay, you can get an undrafted guy, and he can come in here and compete on day one.
I love preseason football and football in general. When we're talking about the mental side of a long snapper with our kicker, we're bringing in Chubbs Peterson for Happy Gilmore is basically the equivalent. We need a caddy for our kicker for the men. But it's not the craziest thing. That's why I love football. I love how we talk about kickers. It's such a unique position.
Well, kickers aren't football.
No, it is. All right. Cause you love them when they make it and you hate them when they don't. And it's football personified as far as I'm concerned. We're talking to Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5, fifth quarter on there. You could also check him out on Valkyrie's pre and post game. I'll get a Valk's question in here too, because tough loss yesterday to the Atlanta Dream and expectations for them so far this season. They obviously shot them out of the water, but I want them to make the playoffs, Matt. I think it'd be disappointing at this point, which just speaks to the season that they're having. Some of the risers and fallers for you after the second preseason game, though, Matt, in regards to the 49ers.
The guy that's probably risen the most is Chase Lucas. It's such a deep secondary, though. It's going to be interesting to see what the 49ers do there. But through two games, obviously, Chase Lucas has been rising up the charts. I really like Tatum Bethune. He's the one that put the hit on Ashton Jeanty there on that first drive. He played well last week as well. And for a team that might be thin at linebacker, Bethune was pretty good last year as a seventh-round pick in the few snaps that he got and in practices. And so I think Bethune might have a chance to play at a depth position here. It's nice to see Nick Martin make strides in his second preseason game. The guys that are falling down the chart are just the running back room in general, because I don't know who they're going to have out there. You better hope Christian McCaffrey stays really healthy at this point. And there's not a huge update on Isaac Grindo. They've sort of been really quiet on Isaac Grindo, by the way. I'm just going to say that. And then outside of him, you've lost Corey Kiner, Patrick Taylor Jr., Jordan James. You're now down to Jeff Wilson, who you signed off the street last week. The 49ers might have to look at either trading for or bringing in a veteran running back literally this week. I think that's actually a big concern because Christian McCaffrey shouldn't be handling a workload like we saw him do 2 years ago.
It's a great point. We're joined by Matt Lively right now on the River Islands guest line, as all guests 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. And Matt, I do want to ask you some Valkyrie's questions right now, but before we pivot there, anything on Jonathan Kuminga feeling like, and this is the latest, Anthony Slater, ESPN, covers his team at a high level. He used the word pawn within the Warriors organization. What do you make of that? Kuminga feeling like he's a pawn within the Warriors organization.
I almost understand what Kuminga is saying here. Are you not confused? Or would you not be confused if you were Jonathan Kuminga on what your role is with this organization?
I don't think
you get shut out during the regular season, and then when you have to be played in the postseason, you shine, and then when you want your money, you're kind of being shut out again.
Yeah, but I think we can find a happy medium here. if you understand, you've been in the league this long, he's been in the league 4 years, and you understand what that coach wants and you're playing alongside those guys, I do think that there's a happy medium of like, look, I know you want to do all of this offense goes through me type stuff. And I'm not saying that's exactly what he's saying. The coach has made it pretty clear. To play on this team, you got to do all the gritty stuff. You got to do all the rebounding. You got to do all the perimeter defensive stuff without falling asleep off ball. You got to be able to make the extra pass. And so, like, I think his role is actually very clearly defined. And I don't think that he's been, you know, whether it's, you know, unwilling or not able, he just hasn't done it.
You're right there, but this is the business of sports, right? So you either trade the guy or you pay him, or you're going to have a really disgruntled player who could tank a locker room.
I agree with that.
You've got to figure out what that is.
Keeping on the hard court, I should say, Matt, here. The Valkyries, obviously tough loss yesterday. I was there, Ball Hollow. The size was definitely a problem and a factor against the Atlanta Dream, Brittany Griner, right? You got Jones out there. They were just swallowing up all the rebounds. What have you made, though, about this team being able to step up, losing your all-star like they did? They obviously had a four-game winning streak prior to last night's loss. Like, would it be disappointing at this point if they didn't make the playoffs? Like, I know that sounds insane. They're an expansion team. They've obviously blown their over-under win total for the season out of the water. But that's kind of what I'm feeling right now. Like, I'd be disappointed if this team didn't make the playoffs.
Well, put it this way. I asked Natalie Nicasse last night if she had reflected on the fact that they're now the winningest expansion team in WNBA history. And she literally looked at me and she said, nobody cares. Natalie Nicasse said, nobody cares. She's like, down the line, does it matter that we have more wins than any other expansion team? I think, personally, I actually think yes. I think the league cares about it. I think the fans care about it. I disagree with her on that. Do I agree that the biggest goal for them is the playoffs? Yes. And that was the point that she was making to me, that this needs to be a playoff team. They don't care about anything else outside of winning and making the playoffs. And she said she's not going to really reflect until there's an X next to their name just to signify that they have clinched the playoffs, and that's not happened yet. It's really tight. Right now they were in sixth, now they're in seventh. And when you look at the standings, Seattle and LA are right on their butts. And so there's, you know, 10 games left. It's going to come right down to the wire as to whether or not they're going to make the postseason. But you're right. Like, they're playing at a level in which their fans now expect them to win, which is crazy to think about, and almost a little scary for an organization who maybe thought they were going to get grace for a few years of like, yeah, we could do okay for the first 2 years. We're an expansion team. Everybody gets it. Not anymore. You've come out, you've set the standard, and now you've got to live up to it. And so I think it is playoffs or kind of a disgruntled fan base at the end of this thing.
Absolutely. I'm 100% lockstep in with you. Matt, great stuff this morning. We appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
There you go, buddy. Matt Lively, the fifth quarter on KPIX, also Valkyries pre- and post-game. You can find all the games there on KPIX for the Valkyries, but you can also find them here at 95.7 The Game as well. If the season ended, they would be in the playoffs.
Do they break down, and I've been trying to like find out, is it East-West? Because I know there's conferences, but they also have a big table where it's everyone on the table. Would they face the Lynx in the first round? Or if they, let's say they were the 8 seed, or would they, you know, is it like basically the top 8 teams regardless of conference?
Correct. There's just one playoff bracket, top 8 teams. They don't split it up East-West. It's just one lump pool. Because they only have, again, like the 13 teams or something.
Yeah, we want that dream matchup. We don't want that Lynx matchup. No. The Lynx are unbelievable.
Although the Atlanta Dream,
Dream is a problem.
They are a problem. It was a nightmare for the Valkyries for sure. So we'll get into that on the other side.
If they could just find a way to get the Liberty, is that the team you want?
Maybe. Hey, you know what? The Fever aren't very good either, but they're
knock out awesome. Sabrina Ionescu and then sign her in the offseason?
A little Kevin Durant angle there, if you will.
You were bringing up Kuminga. There was something that Kelsey Plum said over the weekend, and Kelsey Plum is an elite WNBA player who's played on Team USA, and I think she kind of metaphorically brought up some of the same frustrations that someone like Jonathan Kuminga has with the Warriors right now and why she needed out.
And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Okay.
I was seeing all these lowriders, and I was seeing all these different old school cars. And there's just something cool about a bunch of old schools. And there was one that was a 49er one that was a Jeep. It was a 1962 Jeep. And it literally was gold, like a khaki gold, if you will. And he had Niner logos on the side.
Nice.
It was so cool. And then he had Niner dice.
Very emotional regarding this.
And I was thinking, like, dude, Chewie's doing all these lowrider things right now. I was like, dude, I should get me a lowrider, and me and Chewie just cruise up and down Mission Street.
I can't picture you in a lowrider at all. I'm trying. Maybe you and Jake Moody have some street cred out there.
Well, we wouldn't let you and your flip-flops into our lowrider. I don't want to mess up the upholstery.
More L.A., I think. You'd be surprised how many flip-flops go in lowriders these days.
So the famous story goes, my dad, we were coming out of a wedding
many
years ago. My dad was, he was out there at the time. Let's just put it that way.
Just hanging out, just, you know.
No, he was just out there. Like, I mean, out there. And
I can't find the tongue.
We were up in the middle of nowhere, up in, like, I don't know, like past Rockland, in the middle of nowhere for this wedding for my aunt. And my dad saw this beat up 48 Chrysler Windsor on the side of the road, and it was for like $500.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. He bought the Chrysler. Oh, God. In between, after the wedding ceremony, he went over, haggled with the guy, bought the Chrysler, and we ended up towing it back to the city. And we worked on it for years, and he had it in the basement forever. So it's always been a Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of like thing. I'm not a car guy. I don't like know anything about how to do it, but I want to learn, and I want to like get in on it. And I just always wanted to have an old school.
Did you guys end up fixing the car?
We did, to a degree.
Okay. It rode.
It always rode. You could put like 7 or 8 dead bodies in the back of that bad boy.
Oh,
it's an old school. 48
nice.
Chrysler looks something like out of like a Dillinger or Capone movie, if you will.
48 Chrysler.
Chrysler Windsor.
Well, oh yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. This thing's pretty sweet. It almost looks like if you watch Cars with LG at the Hudson Hornet.
It's badass.
That's basically what he was driving. If I'm going Pixar and going nerdy there for you. I think Pebble Beach had their car show this weekend too, because a lot of my buddies were posting pictures of that. That's the very fancy schmancy one.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach Concourse, like the d'elegance. Carter probably goes every other year. That and the Pebble Beach Food and Wine shows.
Well, what's the oldest car you've ever had?
Ooh, we had like an old like either 80s or 90s Chevy Suburban, like the Silverado kind of ones.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that thing was, like, the AC died on that immediately. So, dude, we had trips in that thing down to L.A. with no AC. Think about that. Brutal.
Wow.
Windows open the entire time.
Whoa.
Awful. It's like, Mom and Dad, you guys couldn't get the AC fixed for this? Like, what are we doing here? Like, we're all dying back here. So, yeah, I actually have a very vivid memory of having to pull over on a trip down to either L.A. or San Diego. And I had this, we stopped by this this gas station, and I had Pepsi Blue. Remember that? That came out a Pepsi Blue soda.
Well, which one was the clear?
There might have been a Pepsi clear, but this is the blue.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I don't remember Pepsi Blue.
Why they let me drink that and no water that whole trip, I have no idea. Long story short, I had to pull over and get rid of all the blue on the side of the road. Yeah, so that's what happened there.
It was probably yellow.
Yeah, it was gross. No, it was tough. It was rainbow. That's what it looked like. It was disgusting. So I'll never drink Pepsi again after that.
So that's the oldest car you've driven?
Yeah, that I've driven, yes. It'd be like an late 80s, early 90s, like Suburban kind of a thing. And if you could parallel park that thing, you could parallel park anything. I always urge people, like young people that are learning to drive, like drive a big car. Because if you could parallel park with those things, you could do any little coupe.
And on a hill in San Francisco.
Yep. There you,
with
exactly.
People parking and
especially in the Bay.
Parking,
are you kidding me?
For sure.
The Bay, you will be appreciative learning how to drive in the Bay Area with the geography around here when you travel to, like, flat areas in middle America.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I saw the 66 convertible Mustang. It looks super sweet that I liked. The oldest car that I've ever driven is that 48 Chrysler that my dad had. That we would take it around the block and whatnot, and I'd move it for him, things like that. I had a Buick Regal. It was like an 86, 87, 88, something like that forever. My dad smashed that one, like, four blocks from the house.
What's the car you learned to drive in? Which one was it, do you think, from most?
I mean, really? This is a Nissan Altima. Because that was the car I, like, burned. Michelle, I, like, destroyed that car. I mean, that's the car I just drove till the wheels fell off.
I don't hate the Nissan Altima. I see those a lot. Those are very economical, if you will, very affordable these days. I'm not mad.
But I didn't drive the Nissan Altima thinking it was a Lamborghini.
Okay.
And I think when I hear these comments about Jonathan Kaminga
as I pivot over
the weekend.
That was beautiful. Sam was like, how is he going to pivot this
one? Well, you know, pivot, don't panic. There were these comments made by Anthony Slater that Jonathan Kaminga views himself as Cade Cunningham or thinks that he's similar to him. Do we even have the exact sound?
I will in a second, but continue.
You hear it and everybody goes, ugh, Jonathan. And I'm not mad at him for feeling that way, but it's like, you're not going to be that here, right? And so there was a time in my life where I would think that, like, not that you're not holding anyone hostage per se. It's a phrase that you'll hear people say, like, this team is holding me hostage. They won't let me be myself and do what I want to do. Like, there's contractual rights, right? And then there's like, hey, we need this guy to play on our team because he makes us the best team. And I also think that the NBA has pivoted into, like, one bad apple in the NBA can really ruin the locker room because there's only so many of them. And I'm not even saying he's a bad apple.
Well, just look at Jimmy Butler last year with the Miami
Heat. But if he's frustrated with his role and he's frustrated with his fit and he's frustrated with the coach, you're probably not going to get the best out of that guy.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he is the best for your team, you might just have to bite the bullet and make amends to him and get back whatever you can to just have some peace of mind of everyone being on the same page. And I keep coming back to the same thing, like with this JK situation, the Jonathan Kaminga situation. It's like, I know, you can't just get rid of him. And you might just have to. And you might just, like, you might just have to say, yeah, we screwed that up and we got very little on return.
So just to make a couple things clear here. So Ron Krojcik of the San Francisco Chronicle, he was the one that a source told him that Kaminga feels that he's in the Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes level where he should get that type of a contract. That's the quote. And again, that's a source told the San Francisco Chronicle.
I'm not mad at that opinion. I get why he would want to have that. I don't think anyone's mad at someone wanting more.
And that's obviously the same draft class back to 2021. That's his lottery classmates. And then some of the guys that have gotten some max deals there, Cade Cunningham, who was the number one overall pick, number three overall pick, Evan Mobley, number four was Scotty Barnes, and number eight, Franz Wagner. And they all got 5 years, $224 million maximum deals. I don't think he's asking for that. He just wants to be treated like some of his classmates. And I understand how he's feeling. Like, hey, if I was in those guys' positions where there was zero expectations on all those, at the times, and still kind of are some of them, loser franchises, like, who's to say I couldn't be there? But the fact of the matter is, JK, you kind of have to read your own situation where you were drafted where you were drafted. And that was out of your control, right? Which, again, I think that's what we're getting at here is the lack of control. He just doesn't have control over anything right now. That bothers him a lot. And I get that. Like, you want to have your own say when it comes to these things. I fully understand that. And he doesn't have that say. And that's why he's telling him basically, like, I'm going to get this qualifying offer. I'm not signing any two-year deal because at the end of this, I want to control where I can go. And obviously, the league's going to dictate that to some degree. But this is what Anthony Slater said, Joe. You were referencing this, and we've been referencing it all morning. Anthony Slater, obviously now with ESPN, R95.7, the Game Warriors Insider, kind of talking about Kuminga being dug in his position.
People can, you know, question whether Jonathan Kuminga will willingly not take $14 million more, you know, and take the two-year $45 million deal. But you talk to people around him, and he's pretty dug in. Like, if this is going to be the best offer, if two for 45 with the team option is going to be the best offer, he will see them in training camp on a $7.9 million expiring qualifying offer, which includes a no-trade clause, because he wants either to, you know, to be viewed as more of a building block, or he wants his freedom, you know, his control of his future. And the qualifying offer, while less money, gives him control of his future.
Kuminga prices!
I would love to sit down with Jonathan and just say, you do realize that if you become, let's just say, in this hypothetical world where you're a free agent and you get to choose where you want to go, even then, you're not going to have 30 teams vying for your services.
No.
You're just not, right? Like, only so many teams view you as a fit. Before we even get to money, only so many teams view you as a fit. That number, I don't know. Is it half the league? Is it a third of the league? Is it three quarters of the league? Is it five teams? Is it one team? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Then you get to the second part of it. Of the teams that view you as a fit, how many of them view you financially and on the basketball court the way you view yourself? I bet that number's lower than he thinks it is. Now, all you need is one, which I understand, and I'm not mad at anyone for thinking that they're better than the opportunities that they've been given or think that they deserve more or whatever. We've all felt that way. Everyone can relate to that in every single way. Mm-hmm. I also don't think that he's taking enough culpability in why he's in the situation that he's in, given the circumstances of the team. So I think both are true. The Warriors have made some mistakes in terms of how they've handled this, having other people play in front of him, which kind of ruined and stunted his development. But also, he has to see that on Detroit, Cade Cunningham's going to get 35 minutes for four straight years or three straight years. They don't really have anybody that's going to push him. But on this team, if you want to play, the coach has told you, you gotta do these little things that you don't really want to do, but you gotta do them to be able to get onto the floor. And that's why, you know, Moses Moody has gotten opportunities before him or at his expense, or Pachemski's had more opportunities than him, and they play different positions. But these are why these things keep happening. So I think both things are true. I understand his point of view. I also think that he has not done a great enough job to make it overwhelming that he needs to be viewed a certain way here. Because to play here, you got to do what this coach wants. It would be the same for Spoelstra. It would be the same for Thibodeau. It would be the same for J.J. Redick. There are a lot of coaches around the league, Popovich, the same thing, who are saying, no, you're going to play this way within my particular system. I remember a young Popovich benching Tony Parker at the end of games in the fourth quarter, and he said, you're not going to play that way on this team, and we're gonna nip this in the bud right now. And he got the best out of Tony Parker, and to Tony's credit, he evolved and kept going. There were times when they flirted with Jason Kidd, and Tony Parker was furious that they did that. And they had to repair the relationship, and they went on to win a lot of championships. But I think the moral of that story is that Popovich sent the message early and often, and Tony received the message, adjusted his behavior, and he was better for it. We just haven't had that same thing play out here.
And Steve Kerr, to his credit, he's even said, like, listen, like, this, like the player development aspect of this is not one of his greatest strengths. Like he will tell you, like, and he told you during that Warriors run early on, like, this isn't real. This is not real basketball, as you said. But it goes back to the Kevin Durant days. He's like, hey, listen, I can go out there, Mike Brown, Luke Walton, like anyone can go out there and basically like hand the keys to these guys. They're going to make me look good. So my players have made me look really good throughout my career. Steve Kerr has said this. Now, it's funny and it's like kind of an aw shucks thing, but now when it comes to like the nut busting time, like this is where we need to start seeing that development a little bit. We saw it with Pajemski a little bit last year. We saw the flashes. We've seen it with Moses Moody at times. And I think those guys' shortcomings in the playoffs and how they looked in the playoffs compared to what JK looked like, and he didn't get a sniff of the playoffs basically leading up to that point. It was just so maddening. And I feel like we're getting to a point now where it's August 18th. And then when's training camp start? Like the mid or late September? And we're still having these conversations, Joe. It's, your points are well put. I just don't have like answers that I can give you.
Nobody
right
has
now
answers
in regards to it.
I see both sides of the frustration.
And that's why I'm frustrated with everyone's frustration.
I agree.
Like, that's kind of where I'm at. And this is Steve Kerr kind of thought. And I'll get to it. I do want to get to the Steve Kerr comment.
Yeah,
comment,
I do want to. Yeah. Like, I've thought about this long and hard. Like, do the Chiefs play some guys who are young and promising, who aren't as refined? Absolutely. Like, Xavier Worthy last year, right? But they had a need at wide receiver. The equivalent conversation to me, the closest one I can come up with, and it's probably not like for like. Could you imagine that the Patriots, with Tom Brady, when they're trying to win Super Bowls, had a project left tackle or right tackle, okay, who thought that he deserved a certain kind of status on the team and just was up and down, but showed a lot of promise,
right,
like doing this whole situation. I just don't think this is where I'm going to reach my particular, you know, my zenith, you know, like, everyone in New England would be like, get this guy out. Now, again, the football culture is so different from basketball culture. I mean, these are totally different. Like, you think Belichick would have tolerated that? You think Brady would have tolerated that?
No, but I want to say Trent Brown was like a 7th-round pick and ended up starting for him one year,
right?
He was
a Niner player first. We traded him on draft day.
Yes.
When we drafted McGlinchey and traded him to the New England Patriots.
Wasn't he a project still
at
that point?
He was in his final year of his contract.
Yeah.
And he ended up playing for New England, and then they gave him money, and he ended up winning a Super Bowl.
He did, but he was a project. Was he not a little, even, I know he was there with the Niners.
He didn't do like the, hey.
I know. I'm trying to find a comparison.
There's a happy medium here.
I'm trying to find, yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. There isn't a like for like. This is a very unique situation. And I do think that like NFL has this whole take it or leave it policy.
Yeah.
Whereas the NBA is the other way around. The NBA, it's like the players have way more control than most of the teams. Plus, in this situation, what you do with the contract of Kuminga has a direct ramification on the type of team you can field this year.
I am so damn fascinated with this Warriors team heading into the season, only because the JK situation, but also once that dominoes fell, and I do think we're at this point right now, I think he's going to take the qualifying offer. I think they're going to get their boys, you know, Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton. This is going to be the team. You're going to have Jimmy Butler. You're going to have Steph Curry. You're going to have Draymond Green, Pajemski, Moody, Al Horford, DeAnthony Melton, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, that's what it's going to look like. You got Steve Kerr coming back, and we'll see if they get favorable matchups in the Western Conference. And then we're going to, you know, go from there. It's similar to like the Niners in a way, but I do think the Warriors, I am plugging them into the playoffs before I'm plugging the Niners in right now, which a year removed from that actually kind of sounds insane as they were coming away from a Super Bowl loss, Joe. And the Niners were, or the Warriors were just trying to get back to hell. The playoffs, so they're trying to be a playoff team. It's just crazy how things can shift year to year. But as we're talking about Steve Kerr and all this and the development and the player development, as we were kind of talking about Kyle Shanahan, that's the big bugaboo around him, right? Player development. This is Steve Kerr, you know, talking about, and this is with the Glue Guys podcast, Shane Battier, Alex Smith, Ravi Gupta. This was from a couple days ago.
I know Shane Battier. I didn't recognize Alex Smith is on this podcast. That Alex Smith?
That Alex Smith. Ravi Gupta.
It's the quarterback, Alex Smith?
I believe so, right? The Glue Guys, right? Is Alex
Smith? I don't know. You're the one who teased it.
I mean, I'm just telling you, Glue Guys podcast, but you know, you got to get on it. That Alex Smith. Here he is, Steve Kerr, on with them, talking about leaning on his younger coaches.
I just think it's really important to collaborate with your staff and to encourage the young coaches to really bring a lot of ideas to the table. I really lean on my younger coaches. One of the ways the league is so different now is that we're now a developmental league. You know, when you came into the league, when I was in the league, we were already developed. You played for Coach K for 4 years. I played for Lute Olson for 4 years. We were ready. And the other part that was different was the schedule was different. So we'd have like 3 games in 4 nights. Then you'd have 4 days off, so you'd have 2 great practices. Now, the schedule is basically you play every other day all year long. We don't practice anymore. So we have to develop these 19-year-old kids who are coming into the league without much practice time. That has meant an entirely revamped kind of development program. And frankly, I'm not great with it. Like, I'm an older coach. I'm a disciple of Phil and Pop. And so I lean on the young guys to really install great development drills, decision-making stuff, things that I never did or knew how to teach. But the key is to figure that out and let the people who can do those things, let them do it and empower them. And I think that's how you progress.
That's fascinating. Basically admitting that he does not have the tools capable to help develop some of these guys that haven't been in college for, 4+ years like he was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Shane Battiers of the world. That being said, I mean, was Pajemski, I mean, he was there for a little bit. It was not like he was a 4-year freaking guy at Arizona or Duke. I mean, Moses Moody, one done, right? Like, these, I get it. G League Ignite was not like, what it was a year at you know, Duke with Coach K. There is a difference there. But it's also basketball at the end of the day. It's not like, you know, they're not running these intricate offenses in Duke that they're not doing in G League. They're trying to score. They're trying to get theirs. They're trying to get buckets, right? I don't know.
Him admitting that he's like...
How does that make you feel? Was that almost too cavalier from Steve Kerr?
I mean,
right
the
there?
Day that you're done developing players, period, just like if that... And I know it wasn't as succinct as that. Like, you're done coaching. That's the whole job of coaching. I don't care what team you take over. Like, you're always developing someone on the roster to get better at what they do. So I don't know. That whole thing was a word salad of like not taking culpability.
Well,
am I wrong?
He is and he isn't. No, he is.
He's been saying, "Hey, but I'm not good at that, so you can't blame me." It's like, no. That's literally what part of the job.
He's owning it and saying like that's not my area of expertise. But that's, you know, there's a lot of coaches where their area of expertise is not a certain spot. Clearly, Kyle Shanahan's area of expertise is not special teams. Like, it's not. Like, he has admitted it. That's it. The way he views special teams is don't make a mistake. Here you go. It's not. He doesn't view it as a strength. He views it only as a weakness.
Here's the part that I think that I've...
What? Say it.
No, like, I've been a Warrior fan my entire life. And the amount of people that are picking sides on players, coaches, the team is the last thing they think about. The team. The team. Meaning, like, is the team going to be good? We're so worried about, and I see this with like people going out of their way, like TC calling in about Trey Lance. And look, I'm rooting for Trey Lance, but I'm a Niner fan. Yeah. I care about the Niners.
Right.
Now, are there individual guys that go on to leave these situations that I have more or less passion for, love for, like Navarro Bowman? I rooted for Navarro Bowman once he left the Niners.
Right.
He meant a lot. Like, the guy gave his body to the team. You know, Pablo Sandoval left and went to the Red Sox. I still rooted for him. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people didn't. They felt scorned. I could still love and root for my team. This JK thing has, the lines are so drawn on it. It's bizarre to me. There's the Steph stance, which Steph could do no wrong. He's the greatest of all time. And anything that doesn't help Steph out win a fifth is just criminal activity. Okay, that's a little strong. Like, it's hard to win, okay? I'm a Warrior fan. I want them to field the best possible team that they can, and I want them to have as much good vibes as possible to win a title this year as a Warrior fan, because they might not have another good chance for a decade after Steph leaves. I mean, who knows? Maybe they get lucky. But the caping up for Jonathan at the expense of the team is bizarre to me. The caping up for the coach at the expense of the team is bizarre to me. It's just, we're in this weird fandom now where people love individuals way more than they love the team. I grew up loving the team. And yeah, JK's a part of the team, and I'm rooting for JK. And I want to see the young man, you know, get his. I still root for Jordan Poole. He hasn't been on the team forever. But I'll acknowledge, yeah, it's probably the right move to, like, everybody just take a hike. You know, I think the trade itself sucked. Yeah. Which is Chris Paul for Jordan Poole. But like, hey, man, we were all done with each other.
Yeah.
You know, we were all done. Just like Trey Lance. They were done with Trey Lance.
It was over.
Probably good to just take a hike, right. You know? And I'm rooting for him in L.A. with Harbaugh. But this thing that, like, we got to go out of our way to, like, wear a Jonathan Kuminga cape or wear a Steve Kerr cape is like, come on, guys. Like, I'm worried about the team.
You don't want to take sides. You don't want to be pit into
just a... I just want the team to be good.
Exactly.
And right now, yeah. This JK thing is sabotaging the team chemistry on some level. I don't know what. I don't know what, and it's sabotaging their ability to make the team good both now and into the future because of the limitations of the trades.
Well, and we got like guys like from the 562, I don't know where the hell that is, but on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, Dub stands demand guys like Shasky, Steiny, and Spadoni stand on business for Kuminga or the Warriors. Like, I don't even know what that means.
It's
like,
just,
stand on bit. And I can't, by the way, that's a term I saw, by the way, shout out Love Island. They use that term a lot. This next generation, these young kids these days, these whippersnappers, stand on business. What the hell does that even mean?
Stand,
is that your new speak your truth? Is that the stand on your business? Well, it's just, this is my truth. This is how I feel about this. Well, how I feel about it is how I feel about it. And how you feel about it is, I'm not going to be put into a corner. Both sides could be wrong. Both sides could be right. And there you go. It's not black or white. It could be gray sometimes, people. And this whole negotiation has gone away, in which I'm sure Kuminga's not happy about. Dunleavy, Lacob, or Steve Kerr isn't happy about. No one's happy about it, okay?
What's the most extreme disconnect between player and front office in this area of all time?
Is this a trick question?
It's Montana.
Okay.
Right? Montana thought he was still the man, right?
Yes.
Steve Young was getting the MVP trophy. He didn't play for 2 years. All right. My dad is in the stands in the NFC Championship game in 1992, January 93, saying, you got to sub in Joe Montana right now.
Yeah.
They're losing to the Cowboys. Like, that's how my dad felt.
Yeah.
All right. He's one of the biggest Montana fans of all time. Of all time. Okay. When Joe went to the Chiefs, he still rooted for Joe. Mm. It's been 35 years, right? Since Joe got traded to the Chiefs. Okay. Everybody's fine. Now, Joe's pissed still to this day, and he harbors sentiment, and that's his own prerogative. Do Niner fans love Joe any less than they did back then?
No.
No. You could still love the Niners, still love Steve Young, still root on Joe Montana and wish him well, and think, and some people still think it was the wrong decision. Some right. people think they would have won two Super Bowls instead of just the one with Steve Young. And the reason why I bring that up is because I go, like, 35 years from now, you're really going to, are you really a Warrior fan or not? You're not going to be still mad at the Warriors for the Jonathan Kuminga thing if they go on to still win and do good things.
I guess a more recent example would be, like, because some people felt some type of the Klay Thompson and how it ended there.
That wasn't
like
great.
Klay should have been a lifer sort of thing. Yeah. So, like, I guess that'd be more Ronnie recent Lott. Example.
Ronnie Lott didn't finish with the Niners. Exactly. Roger Craig didn't finish with the Niners.
If Joe Montana can't finish with the Niners, then no. Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, that's.
We've seen this.
Tom Brady.
Chris Mullin is one of my favorite players ever. In any sport. And I remember, like, basically it was like, hey, like, we got to trade into Indiana, give him a chance to win one,
right?
You know, like, I'm rooting for him. So this thing that we, like, we have to take the player's side and the organization is evil, again, there's blood on everyone's hands in this situation. The coach, the core players, you know, I think there's a whole dynamic in that locker room that we will never know till 20 years from now. Who knows how they view Jonathan, or if they love him or they don't or whatever. I don't know. Jonathan bears some brunt. The coach bears some brunt. Lacob bears some brunt. Dunleavy, Bob Myers, everybody does. But, you know, Kelsey Plum said this thing, and this is the part that I want to get to.
Yep.
Kelsey Plum was talking about how she just wanted to try something different and wanted something else. And we've heard a lot about Kevin Durant, and I think we've turned Kevin Durant into some whack job, you know, because he wants something different. Listen to Kelsey Plum explaining why her prerogatives didn't line up with the Las Vegas Aces. And I thought that this was interesting when I think about the Kuminga situation.
The basketball element of feeling like, okay, it's not about like shots or points or anything like that. It's just more feeling, okay, I'm going to take less money. I want to be here, but like I have to take less again. And then like, okay, yeah, I'll set cross screens and back screens for Asia all day. Like no problem. But then you start to feel like, okay, am I becoming the fourth option? You know, and like we're not winning. So that it also feels like, you know, frustrating. Like I think there's egos involved and, again, it's not just me. That's like, that's what happens when you play on a team with a ton of people that are budding stars, right? You're trying to figure out how to make it work. And, I kind of just felt like I needed a fresh start. I needed a fresh start personally. I needed a fresh start professionally. And I felt like my growth was kind of capped in Vegas.
I think that is one of, it's not like for like, because she is more accomplished in her sport than JK. How can you hear that sound and not think about the Warriors and JK? Is that as like, that's as good of a summary from somebody who's going through it? She's like, my situation was capped and I wanted something different and I think I can do more. That's reading between the lines. Is it not? I thought it was a brilliant comment by her. And I think it triggered a lot of people because I saw the comments underneath it and everyone's like, she's only averaging two more shots a game and the ball's still in her hands. They're like going crazy on her. She didn't want to be there anymore. Like, that's what I boils down to. She didn't want to be there anymore.
She didn't want to be there anymore because she wasn't making the impact. The impact wasn't the same. It just wasn't
happening.
However
you want to put that, she wasn't happy. And I feel similar with JK. He don't want to be here anymore. And so, yeah, it sucks that he doesn't want to be here, and they've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And I think everybody just needs to do, I call it the Pontius Pilate, just go their separate ways.
Wipe
your hands.
Well, also, I'll say this. Like, in Steve Kerr's on, again, another podcast I've never heard of. There's a lot of them. There's just so...
Is that good sound?
No. The Kelsey Plum stuff is great. I'm getting back to that Steve Kerr sound too because there's too much talking.
It's just that's what I'm saying.
We're in an era where everyone, like, we didn't have this much talking or this many sound bites or clips or all of it. And maybe we did, and maybe I was just ignorant to it, but I don't remember a time where we talked about a certain subject matter all the time. And every single week, it felt like there was a new soundbite or a new clip that we were constantly reacting to. And it is the society we're living in, and we are an auditory medium, and this is what we do for a business. But there is a point where it's either one of my players, one of my coaches, and I'm not telling anyone to shut up and dribble. I'm not saying that. But sometimes less is more.
This whole situation is just, it's gone on too long, and everyone's unhappy. And now, JK may not, he's too professional to come out and say, oh, I'm unhappy, I want, but like, come on, man, read between the lines, people. Just read between the lines. I thought Kelsey Plum said it brilliantly. I almost think we should play it again. It's so well said. Just when she's talking, I want you to just think about it through Jonathan Kuminga's perspective, and you tell me if he doesn't feel very similar.
The basketball element of feeling like, okay, it's not about like shots or points or anything like that. It's just more feeling, okay, I'm going to take less money. I want to be here, but like I take less again. And then like, okay, yeah, I'll set cross screens and back screens for Asia all day. Like no problem. But then you start to feel like, okay, am I becoming the fourth option? You know, and like we're not winning. So that it also feels like, you know, frustrating. Like I think there's egos involved in. Again, it's not just me. That's like, that's what happens when you play on a team with a ton of people that are budding stars, right? You're trying to figure out how to make it work. And, I kind of just felt like I needed a fresh start. I needed a fresh start personally. I needed a fresh start professionally. And I felt like my growth was kind of capped in Vegas.
I think the end is perfect. Like it, I felt, you know, my growth was capped and I needed a fresh start. I think that the Warriors and Jonathan have to just bite the bullet and let him go on to where he wants to go on to.
And maybe that's Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Good for Jake Moody.
Right. I watched a movie over the weekend.
What movie?
Superman.
Oh, how was it?
I don't know how I feel about it. I started
the new one, I assume, right?
Yes, the new one. I started to rewatch it. You have to understand, Christopher Reeves was probably one of my first heroes.
By the way, the original General Zod, Terrence Stamp, passed away today from the OG Superman that you love all the time. Yeah, the guy that played General Zod.
Well, one of the greatest villains of all time, yeah. General Zod. The original Superman, one of my first heroes, like obviously Ghostbusters, Luke Skywalker, you know, Star Wars, and Superman. Superman was one of my like heroes growing. I legitimately thought I was Superman. I would wear my red underwear over my sweatpants. I know you guys are laughing, looking
you're
at me crazy.
Red and gold underwear
with the towel tucked into the back of my shirt, and I'd fly around. Again, it came out in the late 70s. I was born in the early 80s. Superman was my hero. All right, and so I hold those movies in high regard. I thought Man of Steel was so good. It was a dark spin, a dark twist.
I loved Man of Steel too. I thought Russell Crowe was great as the father, and I thought Michael Shannon as General Zod is very underrated. He was really good.
There's a scene where he talks to his dad, and it's
the Codex.
I'm gonna start crying because I'm gonna think about my dad. And there's one in the Justice League where he's at the top of the hill and he says, "I miss you, Dad." And I watch it probably once a week on YouTube. It's a 1 minute clip, so I hold Man of Steel higher than others. I watched the new one, and it was very campy, very comic booky. I liked it more than I wanted to admit out loud. I don't think it's the best thing ever, but there's a scene with him and his dad, and it's about parenting, and it got me in my soul, and I just want to say, well done. I don't think it's the best superhero movie of all time. I don't think it's the worst. It's growing on me. I've now watched it 2 times over the weekend, but the scene with Clark Kent and his father, man, it hit me in the soul, and good job. Good job. Well done.
That's good. All right. So Shasky, who is his favorite? Again, this is his favorite superhero. He's giving the thumbs up on Superman. I got to go check it out. Sam, what are you giving the thumbs up on or down?
My final thought, there was a pretty cool moment that happened at Oracle Park this weekend on Friday night where, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but in the history of Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Reference, there have been 5 players with the last name of Seymour who have played the game. 3 of them were on the field for the Giants and Rays on Friday night. That was Carson, Ian, and Bob Seymour, the last two on the Rays. The other 2 Seymours played back in 1914. So on Friday night, you got to see 60% of all the Seymours ever in Major League Baseball history.
What about Philip Seymour Hoffman playing the A's manager? What isn't that
how? Yeah.
He didn't actually play the game. He was an actor who was pretending to be a manager. That's how acting works. So he does not count.
And won his Academy Award for Capote when he portrayed Truman.
How was the Sweetie concert, Sam?
Sweetie. Sweetie, not Sweetie. Sweetie. Bay Area's own.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Saweetie.
I think you can call it Sweetie or Saweetie. I don't think it matters. Saweetie. Whatever you want to call her, man.
Why are you saying
good
it
job?
Like that?
Saweetie Loveman, right? How'd it go that Saturday?
Did you interview her for Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys?
Oh, man, wouldn't that be? Well, you have to like and subscribe to the podcast to find that one out. But, yeah, good job, Sweetie.
There you go. Good job, Carter.
Sweetie.
My final thought of the day is congratulations to Mason Howell, who won the U.S. Amateur, the 125th U.S. Amateur at the Olympic Club this weekend. It was an unbelievable event, and he just dominated the last round. It really was not close. So congratulations there. And I've got a lock of the day, boys. At noon today, we have Yannick Sinner versus Carlos Alcaraz in the Cincinnati Open. Hard court, we're going Yannick Sinner. Lock it in.
It's different. You have obviously the multiple surfaces, Joe. You got your hard courts, your clay courts, and you got your grass courts. Ain't nobody beating Yannick Sinner on the hard court. It's a great bet. Carter, and my final thought is Ballhalla. Hey, you got 10 games left to go here. I don't know how many left are at Ballhalla, but you need to go out there if you can because it's a vibe. And it's not guaranteed that they're going to make the playoffs. I hope they do, but it's not a guarantee. Go out there and experience a Valkyries game if you haven't yet. It is tremendous. And that was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. And I guarantee you, it's Evan Giddings and Daryl LeGru Johnson next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.